Well, good morning. As you can see, we're making progress outside, and we're going to have some changes this coming week. And so just to make sure that you get the information accurately, I'm going to ask Bob to come up and share it with you instead of doing it myself. Miss Sue, it's good to see you back and feeling better. So,
well,
talk to us.
Let's kind of summarize things before we start. You know, we were here about this time last year, and you and I were talking about the possibility of a new church. And Pastor Gary asked us to step out on faith, and we didn't have a lot of money, but we knew the Lord would provide. So our first step was to move the portable, which we decided to delay from September 9th to November 11th. And if you guys remember the week of September 9th, we had 10 inches of rain, and we might could have floated it over there, but we couldn't have moved it. So we completed that task, and then we went to what we call phase two. Phase two is to complete the backside of the project. We put in detention ponds, we've got the curbing in, we've got everything complete, our piping going from the parking lot to the detention pond out to the street, and everything's monitored and set. We've got our temporary driveway with the cemetery set up, and next 3 days we're going to grade the dirt piles you see out there, and that'll be positioning everything for a new church, and our sidewalks coming into this site. So phase two by Wednesday will be complete, and we, starting Thursday for the ladies Bible study, you'll come through the cemetery, through the temporary driveway, and park up as close as you can there. And for next Sunday service and going forward, we'll be closing the front, and we'll be working that parking lot. We'll put in the existing pipe, grade it, prepare it for curbing, etc. And in talking with Pastor Gary, the objective or the plan, hopefully, is to have everything paved by Resurrection Day. Have our sunrise service on the parking area and set up where the existing church, new church, will be, and have the service there. As you know, we've been blessed with just beautiful weather. If you look on your time schedule, we're now 3 weeks ahead of schedule. So I think we can get everything done in front in 5 weeks and get it paved. We may not have it striped, and we won't be done. We've got landscaping to do. We've got to get our as-belts submitted to the county and confirmed. We've got to get our inspections, and so we'll be through that. But Peter, you know that California is, we wouldn't even be started construction now if we were there.
Fighting with environmental.
Yeah. But you know, it takes longer, even in Florida, getting through the county, water management district, Palm Valley overlay. Typically, the planning and execution part takes longer than the construction part. But the good Lord willing, we're going to have Resurrection Sunday out in our parking lot paved. So
that's great. Appreciate all the work that you're doing, and everybody else. So. And am I correct that this particular Thursday, the ladies are actually going to be over at the community center?
Yes, sir.
Right. So just because we weren't quite sure how smooth everything would be for this Thursday, so it'll be over at the community center. So just so that you'll know. So as we're talking about the new church and We know that there are going to be people coming by, looking at the new church, probably coming in as a result of seeing a new church and just wanting to come in. And, you know, the last couple of offertories, I've been talking about the discipleship and what really led my heart to discipleship, why I'm here. And, you know, I guess my thought was, as I visited different churches, as I was really beginning to get more serious about my faith, I would see these churches really focused on how big can we get. And they would do everything they could. They'd have meetings, they'd have picnics, they'd have raffles, they'd have car washes, they'd, you know, blah, 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 trying to get bigger and bigger. And the question in the back of my mind was always, well, okay, so you're going to bring these people in and you're going to fill the seats, then what? What are you going to do? You know, are you just going to let them come through the doors and sit down for a service and think, okay, now I've got my duty done for the week and I'm going to go on and live about the rest of my life? Or are you actually going to teach people what it looks like? The reason it was important to me was because I had no idea what it would look like. You know, I had somebody in my life who was kind of was prompting me and showing me. But I thought, you know what, there got to be other people out there like me that have walked into churches and they're thinking, okay, well, now what? And so that really led me to be, I think the Lord just put on my heart discipleship. And so I thought, okay, as I've got more and more, as I started to study with Pastor Gary and he explained to me that I didn't, in fact, need a formal education. I didn't need to go to seminary. I didn't need all that stuff. I really just needed to be focused on the Lord, my desire to have an earnest relationship with Him, and then somebody to walk me through and explain, really bring Scripture to life. And for me, that was Pastor Gary, and a blessing of the Lord there. And so, but I really brought me to think, you know, if you're wanting to do something really, really well, many times you'll find somebody who can do that really, really well, and you will model yourself after them. And I started thinking, okay, well, how did Jesus do this discipleship thing? You know, how did he go about doing what he did? And Jesus reveals his approach right from the very start of his ministry. And in John chapter 1, he shows us what his approach was. And in John 1:39, John and Andrew come to Jesus and basically ask him the question, where are you staying? And what does he say? Verse 39, come and you will see. He says, come with me. In verse 143, Philip comes along, and Jesus actually finds Philip. And what does he say to him? He says, follow me. In verse 146, Philip goes to Nathanael, and I love this verse, because he goes to Nathanael, and Nathanael's not really enthusiastic, and he says, you know, how do you know about all this stuff? What can anything really good come out of this? And Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. Exactly what Jesus said to him. I love this verse, and if you can't tell, I love Amos. But I love this verse, and I love the woman at the well, because she goes and she's excited. She goes to tell town, and she goes, the whole town, you just got to come see this guy. What a simple testimony. You've just got to come see this guy, see who he is, see what he's like. That's the way Jesus does it. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, he finds Matthew, and what does he say? He says, follow me. So Jesus is saying, you want to know about the Father? You want to know about walking in a relationship with my dad, who Jesus, by the way, came to glorify? He says, follow me. And so that's the way discipleship is done. If you look at what are the results of discipleship done this way, when somebody is serious about a relationship, not just studying about God, not just wanting to know a little bit about God, but actually wanting to know him yourself. You walk with somebody who will actually bring Scripture to life. What's the outcome? Acts chapter 4. We have Peter and John, and they're after Peter and John, and the religious leaders. And in verse 13, it says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." See, the disciples weren't identifiable by their fancy dress or by their false pious sounding speech or by their diplomas or any awards or ribbons, but their boldness and their confidence in who they knew Jesus to be. That's how people, when they looked at him, they knew that they were disciples. They knew they had been with him. Well, why is that important? Because it's through that personal interaction that they grew to love Christ. And they grew even to the point where most of them ended up dying because of the relationship. The very same people who were not there at the cross, who fled at the cross, ended up dying because of their belief in Christ. Why? Because of the personal relationship that they had with him. The understanding of God's nature and character and his love for his children was conveyed through personal experience, personal contact. And what we see is that while they walked with him, and today we can't walk physically with him, we can walk with him because this is his word. This is his testimony. His spirit, he even said, the Father's going to send my spirit that he can remind you of all I've said. And he is with us. So while we may not be able to walk with him, we really have an advantage because we've got his spirit in us that will guide us, that will tell us right from wrong. And so we've got the ability truly to know him today. It was because of the fellowship with Christ and that the disciples were granted understanding of his teachings. So just like the Holy Spirit will grant us understanding of his speaking today, back then, Jesus did it himself. If in Luke chapter 8, verse 9, he's just gone through the parable of the soils. And his disciples come to him in verse 9 and begin questioning him as to what this parable means. So they've got the relationship with him that they can walk up to him and say, "Jesus, what are you talking about?" And he says, "To you it's been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it's in parables. So the seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." What's he saying? Because of your desires, your sincere desire to know me and to walk with me and to honor, respect, love the Father, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. We have the same opportunity today to come to know these things. And then if we go to the book of John in chapter 14, if we consider verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, well, first Thomas says to Jesus, I'll start at the beginning, so I'm not starting in the middle of something. First one. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He wants us with him forever. "Now, and you know the way where I am going." Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How will we know the way?" Jesus says to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now, we've heard this passage before, but very simply, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, "Watch me. I'm right here with you. You've been living with me. You've been watching me. You've been walking with me. Watch me. Observe what I'm doing. Learn from me. Trust me. Obey me. Follow me." So again, it's that personal one-on-one contact with Christ. Through the approach, the disciples learned to walk the walk of Christ. It wasn't just some study. It was actually learning to walk by watching him walk the walk. They saw the love of Christ lived out right in front of them. And that's what he's telling them. You should love each other just the way I've loved you. Discipleship ultimately is getting with somebody, getting with a discipler who can help bring the pages of Scripture to life so that you can experience the love and care of Christ. and learn to walk like he did in love and care. And so finding somebody, getting serious about your walk, this is what discipleship is. And it is a commitment. You know, Jesus is telling people, you've got to drop your nets. You've got to take this very seriously. And ultimately, it's a decision each one of us is going to make. Some of us are going to come on Sundays, and we're going to go home, and we're going to think, okay, I'm good for now. I understand what it said. I'm good. Others are going to want to take it more seriously. And sometimes you may not be quite ready, and down the road, God gets a hold of your heart, and you do. I'm not here to try to judge it at whatever point somebody decides that they're going to take it real seriously. But I do know that if your desire is to follow him, at some point you're going to want to know more, and you're going to want to come alongside, have somebody come alongside you that'll say, look, this is what I've learned, and this is where it comes from. It's not my opinion. This is where it comes from. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you that you have left us your word, and that we know that it is your Spirit who will guide and direct us through it. We thank you that you've put people into our lives who are willing to invest their lives in our lives so that we can just learn sincerely what it looks like to follow you, that we're not stuck listening to somebody's opinion or people who are off track, but people who will point us scripture and verse and explain to us just exactly where in your word they're getting the things that they're saying. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.